greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be with you. As we continue on with our series of studies on Christ in the Old Testament, I pray that we will appreciate more of how in the past, even before he came and became flesh and dwelt among us, he was always with his people, and he was there to strengthen and encourage them. And this is one thing that we can know with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And yesterday, as we look to the Old Testament, we can see that he will do these things also even today. This is the assurance. And I pray this is what we also we'll see in the study, that as he did it before, and we know that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we have that hope and we have that assurance that indeed he will do that thing that he had done before, even unto us, his children. We have the same God. We have the same Savior. And so this evening we will be looking on the topic on Christ who strengthens. And it is taken from Judges chapter 6, 11 to 24. Now before we will take up this topic, let me just answer a very interesting question. And in fact, it is a question that also caused me to check everything, although I must be honest to tell you that Hebrew is not really something that is easy for me. In fact, this was my struggle, and it took me years to pass this in my final years for my dissertation. I have to go through not just a year, but few years of repeated translation or whatever, so that I can reach the standard of the lecture. So let me give to you the answer. The question is, what is the difference between the phrase the angel of the Lord and an angel of the Lord? We know there is this definite article and there is indefinite article. We know the difference between having a definite article. This is really the real one, the only one. This personality. And when we say indefinite article, that means an. He may be one of them. He is just one of the angels of the Lord, an angel of the Lord. And that is, of course, in English grammar. But we have to go back to the original. Okay? When we talk of original, we have to go back to the Hebrew language. And in the Hebrew language, there are 52 verses with this phrase, angel of the Lord. And out of this 52 verses, there are 56 matches. There are 6. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times that it is mentioned as an angel of the Lord. 6 times. It is in Judges chapter 2, verse 1. In Judges chapter 6, 11, we have just read this. And then later, Judges 6:22, and also in Judges 13:16 and 13:21. Interestingly, it is just in the book of Judges. Now, we have to go back to the original, and when we ask between this translation of an angel and the angel, actually, there is no difference. It's just Malak Yehovah. In the original, in the Hebrew language, there is no definite article that is written in there. And the reason is, let me just read to you this this book so that I have some reference, because I cannot say it for my own, like I know it. I don't know actually. So it says here, it is considered actually as the construct. Now we will not deal much on that, but the idea of a construct state is there is the there are two nouns that is it's considered construct chain. It is made up of two or more nominals, nouns, or maybe participles, like angel, Lord. Okay, angel, Lord. So if you literally wooden translation of Malak Yehovah, it's just angel, Lord. But because it is construct state or a construct chain, there is what they call as a possessive kind of, sorry for talking about this, but just to explain possessive a kind of nature of the word. So it is the angel of the Lord. Okay. And in the Hebrew grammar, it is said that the word in construct state, if you have these two nominals or three nouns being put together, it is very rarely has the article. So it does not carry any article. Like for example, Melech, okay, king. Usually it is Hamelech, the king. Okay. Eretz, land, or Ha Eretz, the land. It is always Ha, is there. But in the case of a construct state, in a construct chain, there is no article. That's their grammar. We cannot ask why. That's how they treat their language. So if we question what is the difference, in the original there is no difference. It's all Malak Yehovah. The difference now comes with the translation. Now, why did the King James translators use an angel of the Lord in these six times? If you look at ESV, you may say, ESV is quite, there are some people who say it is quite accurate. Why? Because it's always there. But that is not the case. When we understand the translators of the King James, they were not only experts or they know much of Hebrew, they know much of the English language also. And in the English language, I cannot also explain more of that. I'm not so good in English. But there is this idea here of the King James translators of the context in the side of the people. Like for example, I'll just give you a very common example that has been given to you or taught to you. Like for example, in Genesis. In Genesis chapter, let me just give you this example so that we can understand. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 5. Sorry. He says here, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now, there is no Malak Yehovah here, but I would just like to point out, because the word gods here is Elohim. Why did the King James translators use small gods? To translate Elohim, and in the other portions of the scripture, when he says Elohim, the same exact word in Hebrew, they translated it as capital G-O-D, God, referring to God in heaven. The translators of the King James took the side of Satan, or in the side of Eve here, you'll be as gods. Maybe in the mind of Eve, he will be like God, but they were translating in the mindset of the devil, which says, "You shall be as gods." So in the case of this translation of "the" and "let me just submit to you." Now, you can ask for a second opinion, and I think the best person that you should ask is Reverend Quek. He was my teacher in Hebrew, and when he says this, that should be final. For me, you can ask second opinion, okay? Don't trust me. But I will just submit to you that the translators, the King James translators, although it's the same, it can be translated in all as "the," because there is, in fact, they add "the," because although there is no article in there or a definitive article, they have to add "the" because they know it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, or the refers to the Lord Jehovah. It is because it is in the context of the one of the people. Like, for example, in Judges chapter 2, an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I made you to go up out of Egypt." This is in the context of the people. There is an angel of the Lord. And then later we know in Judges chapter 2 that it was clarified that this an angel of the Lord is actually the angel of the Lord. You look at verse 4 of Judges chapter 2. "And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words." So this an angel of the Lord in the thought of minds of the people is the angel of the Lord that spoke. It refers to Malachi Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, the pre-incarnate state. That is also true in 6:11. "And there came an angel of the Lord." This is in the context of Gideon. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." I'm sorry, 6:11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah." So it's the same. It's just the translators, I don't know how it can be expressed, but the translators, it is the way by which he translated it, that it is with reference to the one who sees, and this refers to the people, that they may have still the idea that this is an angel of the Lord, but actually he is the angel of the Lord in 6:12. And even in 6:21. That is also the same in 6:22. "And when Gideon perceived," so this is his own perception, "that he was an angel of the Lord, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord." This is in the context of Gideon. And the translator had this idea of Gideon still doubting, questioning whether this is really the angel of the Lord. But the scripture gives us here the understanding that he is indeed the angel of the Lord. 6:21, 6:12, it is made, it is clarified. Now this is also true when this appeared to Manoah here in Judges chapter 13. When they entreated God to give them or to save them. Here again we have in 6:16, "The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord for Manoah." Okay? Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So when the translator had this in translating into English, it was he translated it as in the context of the one of the person of the one who sees the angel of the Lord. That's also the same with 13 21. So it's all the same. The angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord, he is one. He is the angel of the Lord. It is the translator that made this, like, to see, to tell us that it is the view of the person, especially those who are in the book of Judges, where they were still doubting, they were desperate, they were downcast, and they were looking for the salvation of the Lord, and they thought that this is just one of the messengers of God. But it's clear in the context, and that is the reason why we have to get into the context. It is the angel of the Lord. If you continue on, you should not stop in one verse. If you continue on, you will see that it is the angel of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, don't use this idea of why there's an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Because in the New Testament, we know this is not with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is already incarnated. So you don't have to use this. And in fact, you cannot find Malachi Jehovah in the New Testament. It is Angelo Kurios. So it is the Greek. So that is not referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that I would like to add also is, there is with reference also of Malak Elohim. That means the angel of God, which is also with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only Malak Jehovah, the angel of the Lord, but there is also Malak Elohim, which is the angel of God. The angel of God, it is, I think, used 10 times. And in here, we have some phrases of an angel of God. And this is with reference to a person who saw David as an angel of God. So this is not referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, we'll see that. For example, in 2 Samuel 14, just to clarify this, 2 Samuel 14, you will see this. This is not with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. They use an angel of God. 2 Samuel 14. And verse 17. It says here, "Then thine handmaid said, the word of my lord the king shall now be comfortable, for as an angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and bad. Therefore the Lord thy God will be with thee." So this woman thought, give this kind of honor to David as an angel of God. That's also the same with verse 20. "To fetch about this form of speech, that hath thy servant Joab done this thing, and my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God." So this is not with reference to Christ. And in the same also with 14:27, "And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter." I'm sorry. 19:27. Okay, this is 2 Samuel 19:27. Which is also in the same context. "And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." So, an angel of God, the angel of God, the angel of God is referred with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. An angel of God with reference to, here in 2 Samuel, to David. But the Malachi Jehovah is all the same. If you read the Hebrew, it's all one. It's all the same. It's only in the translation that they have preferred to add an or that. So I hope it is it clarifies. But if you still have questions or doubts about these things, I think you better go to our higher ups because to clarify, okay? So as best as I can, that is the answer that I can give you.
Now let's go to our theme this evening, and that is Christ who strengthens. And we as people, we know we are easily weakened, not just physically, but spiritually. I just came from Kamaman this morning. Physically, I'm tired. But I thank God that spiritually I'm still able to do things for the Lord. And we have to see ourselves. We have to rest. We have to spiritually rest also. And we have to increase in our partaking of physical food in order to for us to be strengthened physically, but we have also to partake of the spiritual food so that we will be strengthened spiritually. And these are important things that we have to remember, because we know of the second law of thermodynamics. We always go down. We always become weak. No, we don't have, nobody will just continue to go up and strengthen and do things for the Lord without any source of nutrients or source of provision. We need something in order for us to go and do things for the Lord. And there are times that we will be in famine. We will lack resources. We have no provision. We cannot find anything to help us, to support us, all because we are straying away from God. We cannot find the provision of God because we are following a different path. We cannot get the provision of the Lord when we do things different from His way. I can remember my parents who were quite strict during our days. And as children, we, during weekends, we sometimes go around with our neighbors and play. But they have a law or some kind of rule for us. At 12, that must be lunch. If you cannot come at this time, you have no food. But sometimes because of how you're playing, you forget that this is the time. And sometimes they even call you. You will not respond because, it's so enjoyable to be with your friends. And later when you come around 12:30 or 1, you cannot really get any food. There is food, but you cannot get it. You cannot eat. You cannot have it. The rule is that 12, you must be here to join us with lunch. If you are not here, sorry. And I believe you know that there were many times that I missed lunch. I was a skinny child before. Thank God I have now gained much from in my tummy. But because we like to play with our friends around, and you will see that when you come back, no food. You'll be in famine. You'll be hungry, but you cannot have any because you disobey the rule. And this is the case of the people of Israel during the time of Gideon. As you will see in Gideon chapter 6. I mean Judges chapter 6, I'm sorry. We have here Judges chapter 6. In verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now the group, the people, the Midianites, were actually descendants of Abraham. You know that. They live somewhere near the northern part of the Red Sea. But they were also children of Abraham. Although their mother, or the mother of Midian, is known as Keturah. But they were relatives. But at that time, because that has been hundreds of years after, the Lord used the Midianites to oppress the chosen people of God because they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and somehow the Lord allowed them to be oppressed, so that not only the Midianites, even the Amalekites took their harvest, their animals, so that they were in famishing. And they cannot live in places where there is peace. They have to go into caves and dens to hide from these Midianites. So the Lord, in His mercy and grace upon His own people, actually allowed these things to happen because they were disobedient. They were not punished. They did not experience it because of just allowing the Midianites, Amalekites, to be powerful and more and greater in strength than that of the people of Israel. It was a punishment, a chastisement from the Lord upon the children of Israel. But you know, when they cried unto the Lord, you will notice that in verse 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished. They don't have enough food. They don't have enough clothing. They don't have enough space to live. They live in dens and caves. Have you been to dens and caves? It's scary, right? If you stay there, if you live there, it's dangerous. There are snakes. There are some wild animals in there. And it's cold. It's dark. These were the places, the homes of the children of Israel during those times, because they disobeyed God. They did evil against the Lord. But when they, you will see that in verse 7, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Cried unto the Lord. And this word cry is not just to cry, weep, mourn, complain, murmur. It's crying. And it refers to how they have repented. How they have acknowledged that they have sinned. How they have acknowledged that they have disobeyed God. How they have acknowledged that they have done evil against God. This is what is required. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will strengthen when people will repent. Don't expect God's help and provision if you continue with your sinful ways. Don't expect God to provide strength and give you the money, the wisdom that you need, and you are still in your wicked ways. And you are still planning that after this, if I will have resources, I will have money, I will continue to do these things, these evil ways. I will continue to do that thing. There is no help. If there is a help that will continue, that will encourage you to do more sin, surely that is not the strength from the Lord. And it's not Malachi Hova. That could be somebody who is a messenger of the devil. You'll be provided. You want money for gambling? You want money for... It's so sad today that even we heard of these vapes and all these things that are consumed by young people. Please understand, these are things that would just kill you. Sometimes as Christian children, we think we don't have freedom because we are limited only on these things that are right and good in the sight of my parents. Here the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, and when the Lord knew or heard this, He sent immediately a prophet unto them and told them. You see, when a person repents, God will show your error and will continue to show you that you have to come back to me and you have to come back to the right way. And what was the right way? The Lord said, I am the Lord God of Israel. I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That was the sin. That was the error. You don't say, Lord, sorry. You don't just say, Lord, I have sinned. You have to realize what is that sin. You have to understand that you have done these things specifically. Because if you will not repent that sin, that specific sin that caused you to be chastised, you will continue on to live a life that is full of wickedness. You continue to live a life that will destroy your body, destroy your soul. So there are three things here that God showed in how He strengthened. The people of Israel were demoralized. They were really, they feel that, oh, where is God? And that we can see in how Gideon described themselves, even himself. He says, oh my Lord, in verse 13, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. They were asking, if indeed the Lord is with us, why these things happen? He did not understand that that happened because of the sins of the people. His sins, sins of his parents, sins of the people around. And this is important. We who are Christians must acknowledge this. Who will acknowledge sin except us? You ask the people around, they are doing all the nasty things. They will not see this as sin. Only Christians will be able to see and know that these are things that cause, that blasphemes the name of God, that cause us to do evil against God. And so it is us who will first repent. And so God has to point this out. But Gideon feels that, oh, why did God forsake us? Why did God deliver us out or deliver us into the hands of the Midianites? He did not realize the great sin against the Lord. So the angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord in the sight, in the context of Gideon here, where he probably could not appreciate or could not acknowledge or identify whether this is from God or this is God himself. But the scripture give us the right understanding in verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. This is the translation that would give us understanding. This is the same. Angel of the Lord there, an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, all the same phrase in Hebrew, Malachi Yovah. And the Lord is with thee. Now, how he was encouraged. He was given this. This is not flattery. This is to show that indeed God is able to help you. Thou art a mighty man of valor. And thank God that Gideon didn't say, yes, I am. He showed here how he was so desperate, how the people are demoralized, how the people are depressed, that they could not see any more God helping them. But God sees him as a mighty man of valor. If you are chosen of God, if you are called of God, if you are a child of God, you are saved by God, you are a mighty man in the hands of God. And God can use you, and God can make many things through you. You don't have to expect other people to change. In today's context, we want everyone in the society to be changed. No, no way. We are living in a dying world. You cannot let people to just be revived. It is the Christians that can be revived. And that is by identifying you as a mighty man. It is this is to show that you have power. The presence of God, God's indwelling spirit in us is powerful. He is the same as the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the same. And this Spirit of God indwelling in us is the same God. He is not a less
lesser God. He is not a minor God. He's the same God as the God the Father and God the Son. That's why you can be a mighty man, a mighty woman. You can be used by God. You can transform a person from a dead one to a living one. When you witness, when you use the mighty word of God for salvation, you can be used as a mighty man of valor. And so here, the Lord strengthened the people of Israel through a man who was, of course, here he was so demoralized, disappointed with what happened, but he was willing to acknowledge that indeed they are a people who sinned against the Lord. And the Lord here says in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Now, one of the best stories that I really liked, even before I was a Christian, was this story about Gideon. Something that really was intrigued me. Why did God reduce the number of people from thousands to 300? Why did God use them to attack the people with just, you know, a torch and a horn? There are many things that caused me to be interested with this story. But it was the might that God showed to his people. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And why is he mighty? Why is he able to do it? Because I have sent thee. You know, every believer, every Christian we know is familiar to us. It's always repeated in most messages. You are saved to serve. You are called of God. You did not come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by your own will. Please understand this. We have to recall this. This is basic in our Christian teaching. We did not come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer to come to him, to be drawn unto him if we have not been chosen even before the foundation of this world. And when God called us, we come to him because he is the one who draws close to him. He calls us. Everyone is called. You may be called to be a member here in this church. You may be called to some work in the ministry. You may be called to work in the secular world. But every one of us has a role. We are called to serve the Lord. God sent us. When he called us, when he calls us, he sent us to some, he sends us to some work, to some ministry, to some errands, to some task. Every one of us. We are not called just for, say, hey, and then after that, okay, you can sit down. No, everyone is called for a certain reason. That's why in Ecclesiastes he says, remember what? Thy Creator. You have to remember, why did God create me why did God create me in this manner? I am tall, I'm dark, I'm handsome. Why? Is because you'll be a fashion model? No, somehow God has given you something that you can use to glorify him. And that is the might, because it is God who equipped us, made us, strengthened our hands, strengthened our feet. Some of you can run miles. Some of you can carry heavy loads. Some of you can think many great things. God has given each of us this ability. He is our creator. He is our designer. And so we have here in this portion, in verses 14 to 21, how the Lord encouraged the people in his doubtful state, because here, Gideon actually continued to question the Lord. In verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I'm the youngest, I'm the least, I'm nobody.
And thank God that he acknowledged this. And thank God that you can also say, Lord, I don't know if you can use me. I'm not really that smart. I'm not that strong. I'm not able to speak. I'm not good at it. It will be God who will supply. And when here Gideon acknowledged that, behold, my family is poor. I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said unto him, verse 16, surely I will be with thee. So he encouraged him first in the promise. In verse 14, there's a promise that, go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel. There is the promise. Hold on to the promise of God. But he doubted that promise. And when he doubted that promise, he says, okay, don't worry, I will be with you. The promise and his presence. I will be with you, Gideon. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And then in verse 17, and he said unto him, you know, this man is really somebody who makes sure that this Gideon, I mean, it is his character. It's also good to be sure, because there are people, am I really called God, Lord? Am I really called to study? Am I really called to serve in this manner? Please let me and show me the sign. And in God, show you the word of God. Sometimes you still ask for many other things. I mean, God is patient, but you don't have to keep on asking him with the heart of defiance, because I don't want that. God knows that he desires, but he just want to make sure whether this is really your plan, Lord. So he says, okay, Lord, if now I have found grace in thy sight, now please, I have something, another thing for you to show me. And of course, that is about his offering, how the Lord consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and he was showing his power. The promise, his presence, and his power. I have shown it to you. I have given this to you. What else do you want from me? And here we have a submissive man. Although later we still have another asking of sign, right? That's a different topic. But you will see that after that, when this Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, he was still doubtful, an angel of the Lord. Take note in verse 22. He was afraid. I have seen an angel of the Lord, and he thought he will die. In verse 23, we have the assurance of God. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. So this is now the assurance of God to a person who is so with this disobedient man. Now he is giving the praise and glory to the Lord. He was encouraging them in their demoralized state, in his doubtful state, and in his disobedient state. But here in verse 24, Gideon did what was asked by the Lord. He built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, the Lord of peace. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. So we have this submission now. Unless you will not submit to the will of God, you will be really suffering. There are many things that will cause you to be troubled. You may find peace because you don't want to listen to the Lord, and you just make yourself busy with some other things. But unless you follow the will of God in your life, or you submit to what you have, what God has for you, you are a child of God, you are hooked in this vice, or you're hooked with this sin, unless you repent, the Lord will always be there to chastise you. And that's God's loving hand upon his children. Don't be angry. Don't be mad with God, and Lord, why did you do this? Instead, you have to ask, Lord, what must I do? Why you have allowed me to go through this kind of life? And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, helping the people of God to be revived. And we know that after this, in verse 25, how Gideon, with his courage, take his father's young bullock, second bullock, and then threw down the altar of Baal that his father had, and cut down the grove that is in it. The courage, the might. This was just a sample. The Lord showed him, you can do it with my presence. If you believe in my promise, I will be with you. That's the presence of God. And if you will do it, there's the power of God. It's not your own power, but you are able to do it because God will empower you. So we have to come to the Lord in repentance. That's the prerequisite. And that is expected of all of us as believers. Every day in our life, we have to repent of our sins. None of us can say, I am clean this day. I have not done any wrong, any mistake, any error, any transgression, any sin. All of us will acknowledge that we have sinned against God in our minds, in our words, in our actions. We have sinned against God. And when we repent, God is there to strengthen us. God is there to show us that indeed He wants us to be in Christ. He reminds us that of His presence in our lives. And with that, we have to do and act on it. Don't just leave it and do other things and try to manipulate God. You're a fool if you are doing this. As if to say that, oh, when God, I will repent, and when God will help me, then I'll go back again to that thing. We are a fool. So let us trust in the Lord. Let us continue on to lean on Him. And in times that we realize we have sinned against God, we will continue on to look to Him for strength, that we be able to do His work. I can remember as I prayed what will be the right illustration in here. Although this heroine, this woman was not somebody who was in a sinful state, but somehow along the way during her life, when she wanted to serve the Lord and wanted to become a missionary of China, she was an English woman, she was a British. She was, I believe some of you have heard of Gladys Allward. And she really wanted to serve the Lord. So there are many things that she did. She enrolled in a Bible school, but later still, I mean, she was good in her attitude and character, but she could have passed the academic rigor of the college. So somehow she failed. And there are many things that at first she was rebellious to God because of this, because she really wanted to go to China to become a missionary. And there were many other ways that she tried, but she could not go because of some problems. She was looked down by the many missionaries because she was a small girl. And she tried everything, but when she submitted to the Lord, and ask the Lord to just lead her where God wants her to be, that was a time that God led her to China. And at that time, it was a very difficult way because he did not go through by boat. He went to a train from England and then cross to and then we went to Europe and then go to China. And it was a time where there was war between Japanese and the Chinese people, and even Russian. So it was a scary trip, yet she was able to reach China by God's strength. She was a small girl. She was alone. She didn't have much money. She was there just, she was without ability to speak Chinese at the beginning, but God used her when she surrendered her life to the Lord. And we know how she saved hundreds of lives of those children during the Japanese occupation of that part of China. The Lord strengthened her, like Gideon, who was, he says, in the power of God, and she was able to do the task that God has for her when she submitted everything to the Lord. So there are many things that we can do for God, and this must be God's calling, God's will for us. It is not our will that we can do it for the Lord. It is God's will for us, what He wants from us to do towards Him. And I pray that when He strengthens us, He strengthens us with our desire also to really do things for God. There are many, many things. We are in the last days, and you young people, you are still able, you can work more, you can labor more, you have more knowledge of the technology, you have more time to engage with your friends, you have more opportunities and privileges. Don't waste your life here on earth. God is your strength, and when He will strengthen you, He can use you mightily. Now for us, older people can easily be tired. And I must accept that I'm a bit tired. Because, you know, I'm used to, like, I can stay up for days or several nights without sleeping in my younger days. And especially if you do some experiments, you just have to be awake and to watch and to keep yourself awake, because you have, this is important. You miss that, you have to redo again all the experiments. But now, even though how much you try to strengthen, really it's the strength of the Lord that can really help us. I mean, we have our some friends at the back who can say yes also with this, because we know we are aging. But you young people, I mean, you have to ask yourself. You don't have to wait until 40s or 50s that you will decide, Lord, please let me, show me what are the things that I can do. Strengthen me to labor for this. While young, we're still young, we're still able, while still, you know, you have the ability, the time, opportunity, the privilege. Why not give yourself unto the Lord? Now, when I reflected on this, I told myself, yes, we must, because, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he says, it is finished, which is in the Greek, it is paid in full. Yes, it's true that it is referring to paying the penalty of our sins. But you know, this also, this just come across my mind. Paid in full also is not just paying the penalty of our sins. He give us eternal life. We don't have to seek for more on this earth, because we have gained much. And we have a prepared place in heaven. It is paid in full. In fact, more than what we should be paid for. We don't deserve such. And yet God has given us such things. And so I pray that you will be strengthened. The Lord is able to strengthen us. The Lord is able to strengthen even the people in the past, during the time of Gideon, when they were disobedient to God, when they repented of their sins, even though they were demoralized, God was there to help them. Even though they were doubtful, God was there to show him, to show them that his promise, even his presence and his power. And when they responded to God in a way by which they worshiped the Lord, even though they have disobeyed God, God is there to give them what they need, the strength, the might that they needed in order to serve the Lord. So it is always a challenge for young people. And I pray that some of you will respond. And all of us, okay, not some, all of us will respond in many other ways. It's not specifically in this line or in that course. God has always a plan for each one of us. He's our creator. He's a designer. He's the one who made us that tall, that fat, that strong, that intelligence that you're given, that brain, that power to think, all is from the Lord. And I pray we will lay this before God, just like Gladys Orwood offered it unto the Lord, and the Lord used her mightily. An unexpected and person who can do even greater things for the Lord when we give him our life and let him strengthen us. The same God who strengthened Gideon is the same God whom we worship today. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray we will be willing to be used by him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy word, reminding us how thou art our God who is able to help. And even though we have sinned against thee, disobeyed thy words, and many times have departed from thee, thou art our merciful Father in heaven who calls us to repent and to return back unto thee. And when we truly cry and seek for thy help with sincerity, thou art there to help us in our times where we are demoralized by the world. We can have peace. In times that we are doubtful, we can have, Lord, thy promises and thy presence and thy power. And so, Father, we pray that you enable us to know and to acknowledge that indeed thou art our strength, and use us. Forgive us for many times we neglect this prayer to ask for thee to use us mightily for thy name's sake. Thank you so much for saving us. And indeed thou hast not just paid the penalty of our sins, thou hast even prepared us a place in thy kingdom in heaven, which we will enjoy even for eternity. So while we are here on earth, Lord, help us to be used by thee in ways that you think we are able to do for thy glory and honor alone. So we pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.